WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We get ready for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Black Friday, we will be with the Harford County Executive Barry Glassman at Conrad's Crabs. We'll be doing that from 2 until 5. I got other friends stopping by. Eric Sauer from There Goes My Hero will be there, as well as I think Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, even though I don't have the Cole Roofing mug and the Rofo in there. I expect Bill Cole to be joining me in Bel Air. This guy's not joining me, but I might be joining him like Fred Sanford for the big one in Cleveland. He was my one-time producer of Nasty Nationwide on Sporting News Radio from the worldwide headquarters in Northbrook, Illinois and Techney Road. Bernard McKinney has been a radio producer. He sells things in real life. He has lived in Portland, Oregon, and is back in the land of Cleve and Bay Village and the home of all things. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Welcome back. I must say this because my wife and I still have our tickets on the app that I'm not allowed to use per Chad Steele and the Ravens. So we're going to sell our tickets this Sunday night. And my we checked the weather, and my wife was going to go to the game alone and all. And she's like, hey, the Browns are pretty good, right? And I'm like, they're in last place in the division. And as I, you know, have you on and Zastittle and the rest of the Browns contingent. So I had to tell, I had to break the news to my wife because she thought you were good. So there, how about that, Bernard? Take that.
Okay, they're above 500. It's not like 6-5 is a bad record. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not a great football team at all. But let's give a little credit to the Browns. They're at least competitive. The entire division's good right now.
Well, yeah, and that's we've waited a long time for this, right? I mean, the Bengals are a threat. They beat the snot out of us, and we were half asleep a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Ravens lose to the Dolphins. Ravens run around with a backup quarterback and beat the Bears. Where are the Browns, dude? You have threatened, and I've had, listen, I've gone through with it with the Orioles, right? So you can give the threats of where you are with the Browns. I'm there with the Orioles. You don't see the orange bird on my collar. You know, it's just sort of, it is where it is, right? But you always threaten to quit on them. I have tons of friends that have quit on the Washington football, whatever they're going to be. I have seen people sort of walk away in cold turkey. You've been that guy with the Browns because you've been down to the bottom of the barrel, as they say.
Well, 1-31 over 2 years, that's about as bottom of the barrel as you can get. Look, they're a good football team. They're not elite. They're not making the playoffs this year. Things are better this year than they were for over a decade. But I have no, you know, illusions. This is a team right now that's in the best division in football by far. And they're still missing a few key pieces. And they've got a quarterback who right now should not be out there playing, who has got more injuries than I can even list. I've got articles pulled up just to remind myself of how many injuries Baker Mayfield's dealing with.
Well, let's talk about those injuries.
Yeah.
Give me the list.
Well, he's got a shoulder injury. All right, so quarterbacks with shoulders, that's not a good thing. He's got a knee issue. He's got a foot issue. And this going out there and toughing it out, Nestor, I'm sorry, but that's not helping your team. You know, one of the areas when I was a producer and a talk show host and all that I learned the most was talking to retired guys, because they will actually tell you what it's really like. And this toughness of going out there for your team and fighting through injuries is selfish. I'm sorry, but it is. And that's nothing personal against Baker Mayfield. I don't know the guy personally. He, from everything I know, is a very good human being. But from a football perspective, if you're not healthy, you're hurting your team. He is at a point where he is hurting his team. You watched the Detroit game. He was missing so many throws that 2 years ago he was making in his sleep. 5-6 yard slants, quick outs. He couldn't hit anybody with any accuracy. It's clear he should not be out there from a health perspective. Case Keenum is a backup who is more than capable, has been a starter in the league in many, many teams, can go out there and do better than he can right now. Baker Mayfield's not healthy enough to be leading his football team, and you watch against Detroit, and you can see that. Detroit is the worst team in the league. They're awful, and they barely beat the Lions because of Nick Chubb. Thank you very much.
You know, one time after a hurricane in Houston, I flew down to Houston and sat up on the roof down there at the Reliant NRG, whatever they call it this week, next to the Astrodome. Case Keenum came out of a tree that week. He was hunting and came in, took practice over, and beat a Ravens team that thought it was pretty good. You know, like Case Keenum, we're allergic to him. Like when Andy Dalton came out on the field at Soldier Field, I'm like, I mean, every Ravens fan's like looking for cover, like from Andy Dalton, because we're allergic to him. I don't know what we are with Mayfield, and I don't know where you are with Lamar, but the Lamar show, the Willis Reed thing that happened last year, and then he couldn't get on the field this week. Got chippy with me 2 weeks ago when he ran the ball 21 times, you know, against the Minnesota Vikings in a 70-minute game, and they had to go out and play 96 hours later. When you talk about the toughness and where no one questions the toughness of a football player, a hockey player, basketball player, or the grind of baseball, we've covered it all, right? Or the strength of a horse jockey that's this big, right? So it's not about the athleticism. It's more about the violence of the sport, and this being Thanksgiving. And six of these teams playing on Thursday, right? So we can all eat turkey and cranberry when none of them are really prepared to play. Like, that's one thing I didn't really understand until the team came here. These Thursday games, it's a bad idea. And I tell you what, the Players Association, not just doing away with them, but they should be getting buys before, after. They should find a scheduling way. If they want to play the Super Bowl in March, they could. That they could extend the season to some degree to give these guys some rest. That would be a better scenario than, you know, watching diminished. The word I thought of with you to have a real sports radio conversation, Bernard Bikini here, by the way, my longtime sporting news and 101 sports producer, longtime radio host and executive producer and all that, is in the real world now selling widgets at, you know, a company in Ohio. But I would say through all of this, the injuries and all the things that we see with players now, I'm 53, so I view it a little differently, and CTE and the violence of the game and how Ed Reed and Ray Lewis played the game and wanted it played, and a decade later, it's not played that way anymore, much to the chagrin of a lot of folks. But keeping these guys on the field is the most important thing. It was no fun not watching Lamar play the other day. Even though he just had the flu or whatever he had, you know, he didn't have the flu, by the way. He had a bug, whatever that is. It's no fun watching backup quarterbacks play.
It's not. And the Thursday games were a bad idea, but quite frankly, it's too late right now. The owners are making too much money. And now you look at what they've done this year. They've now gotten to a 17th regular season game, which I can't stand. You had a perfect structure of, you know, four games against your, you know, the other conference, four games against division in your conference, six division games. It was perfect symmetry. It made me, the anal math, you know, guy, very happy. But the owners have already pushed it to a point where the players, I think, have lost too much bargaining power. If the players go back now, and justifiably so, say, we need a second bye, we need more health, the owners they're not going to go for it because they don't have to. Look at the NFL, Nestor. How many guys 2 years into their NFL career are already looking behind their shoulder wherever they play because there's somebody that wants to take their spot? There are so many guys that play college football that would kill for a chance to play at the NFL. The owners have got too much power. I don't like it. 16 games was enough already. Now, they got rid of some of the preseason games, which is good. But let's be honest, how many starters ever played anything in the preseason? I mean, you look at your.
Well, we just saw Tyler Huntley run around, and obviously RG3 ran around last year and played his way out of the league, quite frankly, in that Steelers Wednesday afternoon game. He's running around with third stringers. No wonder he didn't look good. It was below a preseason game. I mean, Bernard, last year, they made the Denver Broncos run around for a day without a quarterback.
That was awful.
Well, here's the other thing. Now they're in on the action. They're in on the game, right? So, and I've played this out all week, and I'll continue to play this out, okay? I accidentally, literally accidentally, booked myself into the same hotel that the Ravens were in Chicago. I don't even know how it happened. Like, I just had a room, got a rate. It's where I wanted to be. My back screwed up. It was close to the stadium if I had to drag my bag, right? So I book in, and the first people I see are everyone I've ever seen who travels with the team, the equipment managers and all that stuff, right? So I'm in there. I'm sort of locked out from meeting players in locker rooms and stuff, and I'm wearing a mask, but I can be in the same hotel lobby with them, right? I could probably meet them out for fried chicken on a Wednesday night if I wanted to, right? I mean, there's all this tier one, tier two, who's in the bubble, who's out of the bubble, Aaron Rodgers, COVID, lying about it, Antonio Brown, fake cards. There's all of that. But I check into the hotel, and everybody knows we're on Lamar watch, right? I mean, Lamar's now questionable on Saturday, and we're like, And I'm like, are they playing head games? And Luke's like, they're not playing head games because they're going to have to call up Trace McSorley and they're going to wind up losing him to the Cardinals, bringing him up, which mm-hmm. they wind up doing. So they're playing hokey pokey. And I'm thinking, if I'm a gambler, and I'm not, but this is where all of this is going now, right? Like, they all own casinos. The Bears had their official casino draped all over the building. They're going to build a casino next to Wrigley. The Maryland Lottery's with me. Everything we talk about here, the casino's opening and where they are. Great. Now what happens when a Bengal player lowers his shoulder and gets called for a flag that changes the game, flips the score, flips the 6 points in the other direction? Fair enough. That's bad enough. And the fact that the cornerback could be in on throwing the game, and that would never happen, Frank Hornig, the NBA crooked official. Like, all, you know, somebody's going to be crooked because there's money involved and the mob's involved, right? Now the teams are involved. But I wake up in the hotel on Sunday morning, and dude, I'm not looking for the scoop of the century, right? You know, I'm not out snooping around playing Adam Schefter around every corner because I'm not 28 anymore and I don't care enough. Mm-hmm. But if I were a gambler and I could figure out whether Lamar's in or out, and I knew because I got in the hotel elevator and the elevator door shut with a player accidentally, and Bradley Bozeman's in my lot in the hotel at 8:30 in the morning getting a cup of coffee, and I say, hey, what's up? Because in the old days, it was just sort of – that happened all the time. You know, mm-hmm. I'd run into Marvin in the lobby and say, hey, man, Stark's going to play today? Wait till we get over there. Probably not. You know, like that's how it would come to me as a reporter. Now it's dangerous. Now it's literal inside information on whether the most important player on the field is doubled over on the team plane throwing up, and there's 80 witnesses to it that could really was looking for a journalistic scoop. The journalistic scoop isn't a journalistic scoop. It's insider trading information that has incredible value to Las Vegas and the mafia.
It does. I'll tell you, though, I spent a lot of time in Vegas with our dear friend Papa Joe, and I was able to really learn from him a lot about the insides of sports gambling because he used to be an eye in the sky. You're right that it's dangerous. However, I'm pretty positive that the Las Vegas odds makers have got better sources than Adam Schefter. I'm pretty sure they do because I am a little bit of a gambler. Now, I'm not, betting every weekend or anything.
See,
like
I didn't even follow it, Bernie. I don't know how the line moved, but when I pulled out of the hotel lobby that morning, I literally got into my friend Jason Wright's car, went and had some breakfast together. And that morning, everything on Facebook, is Lamar playing? Is he not? I'm in the team hotel. I didn't really know, but I'm telling you, I could have found out. You know what I mean? Sure. Like literally, like if it was just what I needed to know as a reporter, I'm pretty savvy MF-er. I think you know that, I would have found out had I cared enough, but it's dangerous to find out now almost, right? Like I don't care enough to break that story and be right or wrong one way or another. But if I were that guy looking to put 10 grand on the game and change my weekend and pay for my trip to Chicago, because I had that sort of vibe about me just for my own purposes, not as an inducement to wager, that's now completely legal and I can do it down the street and the league's in on it and there's no more hokey pokey. I mean, Kevin Byrne and the Ravens, if they thought that I was snooping around hotel lobbies in San Diego 20 years ago to see whether Jim Harbaugh was starting today or not, they would have thrown me out of the media, dude. Sure. Like, because I was betting on it. Not to break the story for my newspaper or my media outlet, but because I was getting action on the side, I would have been excommunicated, disbarred. I would have been discredited. I would have been all of that the way Paul Hornig was, right? So we're in a different environment now, bro. It's really weird.
We are. And look, the gambling, I can understand the concern that you have. I'll say this. I have seen plenty of lines taken off the board because of key injuries over the years. Like I said, when I was working for Papa Joe, he spent more time looking at point spreads than actually knowing the 53-man rosters. He was very different in the way that he approached games and sports, as you know. So if you ever see a line off the board, it's exactly because they don't know yet if Lamar Jackson is going to play. I can tell you that if the line's on the board, then the bookies know what's going to happen, and they're fine with action going either way. And I'll also say this. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, which so many people have, there's a reason the casinos are big and glitzy and glamorous. It's because the house always wins. They always win. I don't care if anybody puts down $1,000 on Baltimore this weekend to beat Cleveland, which they will, by the way. You might get your $1,000 one week, but you're going to, over time, end up giving more back to the house. So I'm not as concerned about, I guess, the integrity of gambling being this closely a part of our sports. I think the NFL, though, is showing at least their greediness because they just want a cut of the action. They're tired of seeing the MGM and the Mirage, the Mandalay Bay, and all these huge operations make money off their product.
And by the way, Louis the bookmaker in every city, right?
Well, exactly. And Louis the bookmaker's been doing this since the 1930s. Nestor, you know, the reason the NFL was created right here in Ohio, by the way, was because bookies needed action on Sunday to offset their losses in college football on Saturday. That's the only reason the NFL was created. Those who actually know how the league began, it was because the bookies wanted action, and nobody thought the NFL was going to be anything. That's why it started off in Canton and Decatur and Racine and Green Bay.
And Massillon.
Yes, and Massillon Tigers.
Home I even know how to say stadium. That. You like that? Is that good, yeah. Bernie? See?
Home of Chris Spielman.
It's almost like I had friends and girlfriends and business associates in the there land of Cleveland, yeah. You know?
But it's actually pretty fitting that the NFL embraced betting because that's how the league began, was because of the bookies. Now, yes, it became legitimate through the years, but the first couple decades of the NFL, it was not this sleek operation that we see now. But I think there's actually a good element of having gambling more closely associated because the bookies, if there's something fishy, they're going to alert any team or the league.
This is nothing fishy, dude. And I'm not even indicating anything's fishy with Lamar. I'm saying the value of that information moves a whole different level now in regard to the league being involved in it. I mean, because the league will always, Harbaugh always say HIPAA, and you know, and privacy and like all of that. And then there's, I'm in the team hotel on Sunday morning and the most valuable guy in the building is throwing up upstairs, and Vegas has the game on the board as a +5 rate. Well, I don't know enough about gambling to even know what the line is every week, right? Like, I don't watch sports for that reason. It's not the way I communicate about it, literally, right? And but I just know that there should be some concern. That's all I'm saying. And it struck me when Lamar was sick as to how that could really work in real time. That's all.
And I understand that. I guess I look at it in saying there's plenty of sources of information that anybody in the media can have, and Adam Schefter's got plenty. You know, the bookies, though, they know how to get a hold of the housekeeping at the team hotel. Hey, have you been up to Lamar's room to clean up, throw up in the last 12 hours? I think the bookies have got the information, and they're fine with you or anybody else feeling confident about putting $10,000 down because you feel you might have inside information, because they know how to work both sides. They don't care what you bet. They just want equal on both sides, and they take the juice. That's,
you know,
that's
one time I was in Vegas with my wife, you know, 15 to 18 years. It was right at the beginning of our marriage. We were there for like a bye weekend. I think we wound up going up to Oakland and seeing the famous Chop Chop game with Johnny Damon got knocked out on the stretcher. And like, we were at that game. It was a great game. But I think it was that weekend on that Sunday. And I put like $25 down against the Patriots and $25 on the dog and sat there for 3 hours sipping my drink and like thinking, this isn't any fun. Like, I'd rather just go play blackjack, you know, like, and so I didn't sort of get it to that degree. And I've been doing this my whole life. And I'll never forget this. Marvin Lewis and I were watching film 1996, 97. And there was a play and the ball bounced and, you know, went whatever way it went. And he looked at me at one point. I'll forget. He's like, I can't believe people bet on this. He's like, I don't know where the ball's going. I don't know how my team's going to play. I can't believe people bet on this. So Bernard McKinney's here. He's my longtime friend and Cleveland associate. Go ahead. You were going to say something on the gambling side.
Well, we play roulette, right? That's literally betting where a ball is going to bounce and land. So what's the difference? I mean, if we gamble in roulette, it's the same
difference
thing.
Is you don't bet on black or red or white or blue. You got that brown and orange. By the way, I'm not being mean to you, because I mean I can be mean to you anytime, right?
I can,
but that jersey is particularly ugly, the one that says Cleveland on it. And it's not it because is. It says Cleveland, it's just like not what you should be wearing. I mean, you should be wearing what Jim Brown wore, and that's not me being an old guy, get off my lawn. But like,
you want me to go get? I got
one
from
Cincinnati. You're not from. You're from Cleveland. You know what I mean?
Want me to get a real one? I got a Josh Cribbs real one, a better one. I'll get here. Give me 10 seconds.
No, I mean, no. Wear that. We play again in 2 weeks. I'll have you on.
Well, this is the Nick Chubb. This was his jersey when he was a rookie. I got this as a rookie because in Cleveland we love running backs more than anything. Jim Brown, the greatest football player of all time, is a Cleveland Brown. So this was Nick Chubb's rookie jersey, and I'm cheap, so I haven't replaced it. I'm with you. I hated these uniforms. I hated that it was done. Jimmy Haslam just wanted more money to sell, so he changed the uniforms. But I got to support Nick Chubb, number 24, and this was his rookie jersey.
Okay,
so.
Fair enough. I mean, and listen, the Ravens have more pajamas that they sell and wear. You know, to me, white and purple were just fine. I didn't need more than that. I did like the mustard pants more than anybody else did. But when they run around in, you know, purple, they look like purple ketchup. It's kind of weird. So, yeah, and I don't like the all blacks either, even though I'm wearing all black right now and look a little funereal. I'll wear black if we lose to the Browns on Sunday, and I'll tell you that. Bernard, you know, from a confidence level in the league, I mean, the league really is something, though, right? Like, we've sat here and bitched about this and injuries and, like, all that. But on a week-by-week basis, the last 10 weeks, having endured a plague, bad baseball, you know, no sports, in sports, tyrants running governments, insurrections on the cap, you know, gun violence in our country, like all of these awful things that I address oft times here, including a plague, you know, where I wore a mask for 14 hours on Sunday at inside a football game, inside a locker room, inside an airport, inside an airplane, inside another airport, and then inside an Uber to get home. Like literally, football is the one thing. And I know we can talk all the awful in the CTE and like the officiating. Every week it's good. I mean, they put on a hell of a show here. This last 10, 12 weeks been as good as it's ever been.
It's a break from reality. I think we've all been changed a lot, Nestor, the last almost 2 years now. I know I have. I'll be honest. I've abandoned sports just about since the start of this pandemic.
So you didn't see LeBron almost get punched out the other night, even though you're Mr. Cleveland?
You know, I've been following football and that's it. It's about all that I really have the, I guess, attention span to. I've been following a lot more. I still
well, you know, wait, the word would be bandwidth, right? Bandwidth.
Exactly.
There's only so many things I can care about in a given day. I've changed my, you're talking to a guy that made his whole life off of sports, whose last name's Aparicio, that I haven't abandoned it. It's more of abandoned me, quite frankly, like literally,
yeah,
right?
I think there's a little bit more important things in this world. However, I don't devalue what sports means to all of us. We need a break from reality right now. We need a reason to spend 3 hours on a Sunday and have a little optimism, a little hope. Unfortunately, being a Cleveland Browns fan, I have none of that. But at least I got my fantasy team that I can root for. You know, it was actually fun. Last weekend, I was playing against a guy who had Baker Mayfield as his starting quarterback. So I'm like, great. When Baker throws his interceptions, I won't be upset because I'm going to win my stupid fantasy game. But sports has a lot of power. It really does. It's about unity. It's about civic pride. You know, I have a good friend of mine who's from Cleveland that doesn't know anything about sports. And he always would say to me, why are you a sports fan? And I would tell him all about that camaraderie of community. When you go now, Nestor, to a sporting event, I was at the Ohio State-Purdue game a few weekends ago. I was for 3 hours among like-minded people that were being kind to each other. And quite honestly, that means more to me right now. I didn't have to think about, okay, who in here might be politically not aligned with me or, you know,
a Steelers fan.
Or, yeah, Steelers fan, exactly. We were all for a three-hour window together, happy. You know, I saw a few Purdue fans. I was saying hello to them, saying good luck. And we need that. And sports has a lot of power. It really does to bring communities together. You know, you and I, we're on the opposite sides of the sports aisle. You know, my hatred for the Baltimore Ravens is gone. You know, my anger about 95 and all that is gone. It is.
See, I feel that way about the Colts. I mean, I got together with Jimmy Irsay over the years and made nice mm-hmm. and the Colts people. They were in here a couple weeks ago. I saw Pete Ward, you know, and he's Jimmy's right-hand guy and has been for 35 years. And, you know, ask him how Jimmy's musical fund's going and his charity thing down in D.C. because Jimmy loves all the music you and I love, all the classic mm-hmm. rock, and, you know, owns the Beatles drum kit, you know, and wants to share it. Like, literally, that's who Jimmy is. He's made all this money. His passion's music, literally. And mm-hmm. And it sucks for Baltimore, and it sucked for Cleveland that we stole your team. But, like, that's why you have the team you have, and that's why you have the stadium you have because Art left. That's why we have the purple thing because we had to yeah. endure the pain of the Colts. That's why people get second wives because your first wife dies or they get divorced or you move on in life and you hopefully move on less damaged to some degree. And, you know, I go back – I said and did awful things about the Colts in the 90s around here. Trust me, I did. Really, I did.
And I did the same about the Baltimore Ravens and probably many of the things I've said to you. I mean, you recall when we met, the first thing I said to you was, I hate Art Modell. Remember, I stuck out my hand.
I said everybody in Cleveland does. You know, I mean, yeah.
And thankfully, I've moved on. I will say there's probably plenty of people who – but I've gained some perspective. I'm not trying to sound enlightened, but you know, these last 2 years have not been fun. Football can still be some fun, and you know I'll be enjoying watching the Browns lose this weekend. I'll at least enjoy it.
Ah, man, always self-deprecating. Bernard McKinney has been my friend for a long time, 20 years. By the way, they say you can't go home again, but I flew into Chicago O'Hare Airport. My friend Stan Jablonski picked me up at O'Hare. We went down for some Pequot's pizza. And I relive my energy without a hot dog in Northbrook. So I went back to Techney Road. I went down Finkston and Willow. So, you know, I made these turns. Some things have changed. Some things are the same. The Home Alone house is still out there. And I pulled up, and there it was. And I took pictures of the place where you – Barefoot race, Chet Kopick, the late great Chet Kopick, and ate Baby Ruth to the point where you got sick. And Jay Mariotti accosted me in the studio for something I still have no idea what the hell was going on.
He almost broke the glass, too. I was in the other room watching that happen.
Oh, you witnessed it.
You were in Studio C.
I still don't know what happened, but I think he's just weird. Yeah.
We had four studios down a hallway that you could see through the glass of every room.
Did it have something to do with me having Kurt Schilling on the show? And he thought like it was something stupid like that?
Or? I can see it in my mind. Honestly, I think he just didn't want you waving to him. You were just very kindly and politely, innocently waving like, hey, Jay, how you doing? You were coming up next. And he freaked out because you normally weren't in studio. Because he had just gone to break, he took his headsets off, and he turned like this, and out of the corner of his eye, he saw you, and that just was enough to set him off. I was watching the whole thing because I was down in the Studio D.
You understand why he was mad?
I just think he just didn't like you, and he thought you were, like, I don't know, being disrespectful, or it was silly. But you were just waving like, hey, Jay, how you doing? You were innocent as hell. Get up of that thing.
What Papa Joe did to me every night. He waved to me, and then I'd see him in the bathroom,
yeah.
and he always had his yellow note card thing, paper out, writing his great, you know, prequel, you know, to the show. So, Bernard, man, I'll get you on one day, and we're just going to tell Kopick and Papa Joe. I should have had you last week for the Chicago thing, but I knew I was having you this week. And if I get out to Cleveland in a couple weeks and get a cat sitter properly and get my condo sold, we will convene for some breakfast in the land.
Well, you can bring your cat here and you can hang with my little pug who's at my feet.
I see your little buddy out there. You know, this friendship tour thing after the plague and all that, you're trying to talk me into leaving my cat for 2 days. I don't really want to do that. And John Harbaugh doesn't really want my line of questioning in the post game anyway. Which might get me there, as well as a breakfast down there in Tremont. Bernie, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on, all right?
Thanks, Nestor. You have a good one.
Cleveland Browns fan, one-time producer of Nasty Nationwide, heard on 425 stations, at least that's what they told me. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Go Ravens. Browns suck. There you go. I said it.